analyzing what the bizarre Morgellons fibers are has been slowed down by the fact that Dr. Randy Wymore has a full-time job as an assistant professor of pharmacology and physiology at Oklahoma State University in the College of Osteopathic Medicine, and he works on Morgellons as a volunteer with a couple of grad students. He was provoked after he saw the fibers under a microscope for the first time a year ago, and he knew that he had never seen anything like it before. The fibers are most often clear, but sometimes blue or red, and you can see outstanding examples of these microscopic images at earthfiles.com in my Morgellons report at the top of the headlines page. Currently, volunteer researchers are now applying what is called Fourier Transform Infrared Spectroscopy, or FTIR, in an effort to find out what the Morgellons skin fibers are. Here now is Randy Wymore, PhD and director of the Morgellons Research Foundation.
We have solicited the help of the local police crime lab because they do FTIR spectroscopy and they do metal analysis, because there's one possibility that the colors are not pigments per se. They're not dye, that much is clear. But maybe they are so homogeneous in color because it's actually a metal at a particular ionized state that gives the color appearance. So we're just waiting for them to do these experiments. The most common are not colored at all, or they have a slightly brownish to darkish appearance to them. The ones that are most striking, of course, are the blue and the red ones, because they so stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And the blues are often, they're just an incredibly bright, almost an electric blue. And the reds are very deep red, often it's almost magenta colored.
But so far, no one has an ID and a specific elemental composition on what any of them are?
No. Now, some FTIR spectroscopy has been done, but until it's replicated, we really can't discuss that. It is unfortunate that lesions with bizarre-looking fibers are such a big part of this story. I know from looking at bizarre disease, it really stands out. But what I think really awful effect that is taking place with people suffering from Morgellons is that there are neurological effects. Many of these patients have very much like people who have had uncontrolled bouts of diabetes where there has been peripheral nerve damage. So they have the pins and needles tingling in their feet and their fingers and toes. They have difficulty sometimes feeling things in their periphery, all the way to muscle effects where certain peripheral muscles in their feet, their lower legs, it's difficult for them to walk. I've seen now a couple of Morgellons sufferers who have very pronounced foot drop. And that is, when they lift their leg up to take a step, their foot just drops at the ankle. And they have to take an exaggerated step to place their foot down to take the next step so that they don't trip over their own feet. They also have central neurological effects, something they've coined a name for, brain fog, where it's just a profound difficulty in focusing, clear to the point where some patients actually manifest periods of time where they have difficulty forming words and communicating.
And is this why in the last few months there has been some discussion about a link possibly to Lyme disease?
I think the initial link of those Morgellons patients which have been tested for Lyme disease, there seems to be a high coincidence of it. Now, whether or not Lyme disease has anything to do with Morgellons, I have no idea. People who have Morgellons disease are very sick. There are skin manifestations and nervous system manifestations. It may be communicable or contagious. It can't be highly contagious in the same sense as like influenza, but then it's a mystery. We have some whole families where every single family member, including in-laws, non-blood relatives, sometimes have it. But then we have other families where a husband, wife, or significant others have been together for 2, 4, 6 years, or in some cases with children, that don't have it. So very puzzling, but I'm going under the assumption that at the root of this there is an environmental cause, a genetic either predisposition or a protective factor, and then any of the usual suspects in terms of contagious sorts of elements, bacterial, viral, protozoans, worms, nothing really has been eliminated for me, except for, as far as causative agents, I do not believe that one of the little bugs called Calendula, a lot has been written about it, we can't amplify the DNA from Calendula in any of the scabs or shed material, the fibers, from patients, and so I don't believe it's that. But as far as what the causative organism is, I have no idea. You know, a lot of physicians are still at the point of sending emails and calling and saying, well, what in the world do you think this could be real? For myself, the physicians here, and others at Oklahoma State University Center for Health Sciences, we've moved way beyond that point now and are trying to approach the research as to how do we figure out what's going on. And so, in all honesty, it gets tedious trying to defend the fact that this is a real condition as opposed to something that is purely delusional.
Right.
Because we know it's not. You know, people say, well, how sure are you that this is a real disease? Well, the people are suffering horribly. Obviously, it's real. Something is going on here. But in terms of, is it something physical that we can try to work at, to try and test, to try and figure out what's going on? After I got to witness the examinations and see what we were seeing, I have no doubts whatsoever as to the reality of Morgellons disease. Just a couple weeks ago, I think over about a 10-day period, we had 341 or so new registrations in that short period of time. And the majority of them were at least two people per registration, all the way up to, in one case, one registration represented six family members.
And there you're back to the mystery of clustering. Is this something that is infectious?
Right. While I am sort of investigating something that a lot of people think is sort of on the fringe side, the approach we're using to investigate this is very much, I would say, mainstream medicine as we try and sort through this. And from sort of that mainstream medicine's perspective, I can't really address the specifics on that because we just don't know.
And why would something that's affecting 4,000 people and counting be considered fringe?
Because of the seeming impossibility of the symptoms, I totally am unhappy with the way physicians have just dismissed the symptoms of Morgellons disease and been dismissive of their patients. But on the other hand, as far as saying, if you were a physician and someone says, I have red and blue fibers growing out of my skin, a certain healthy skepticism is not unwarranted there. For most of us, we would say, no, that's not possible. Now, that being said, it does get back to, though, the physician should do a thorough diagnostic workup, a $10 handheld microscope from your typical electronics store. You can see even the larger microscopic fibers in the skin with this handheld microscope. So it's not even a matter of having the right equipment to be able to look at it. But what it does take is actually looking. And that's what most of the physicians who have immediately reached for the DOP diagnosis have done. They have not gotten close enough to look at their skin. They definitely haven't looked with a magnifying glass or a microscope, because if they did, they would see things in the skin that when you look at someone who is unaffected, who does not have Morgellons disease, you just don't see these. Something is definitely going on here.